Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is No Can Do. What I'm about to read and say to you is directed at at least two groups of people. If you are a Christian, you know by now that this is nuts. And I'm going to read you just a fraction of the verses that I could read you and why it is an impossible thing to live the Christian life. And if you are thinking, if you're just religious or you think there's a God and you're pursuing this, do not become a Christian. It is way too hard. Go pick some other religion that's got a few rules, you know, where you just got to be real quiet when your babies are born, some crazy thing like that. Pick one of those because you can live like hell. You can do whatever you want to do and nobody's going to say anything. If you say you want to be a Christian, you have lost your mind because this is impossible if you're really going to do it. Now, I'm going to read you a few from the Old Testament, mostly New Testament. Thank God you were born now if you're even considering becoming a follower of God or Christ, because the Old Testament people, it was a nightmare. They had stuff, and then they piled stuff on top of stuff. You couldn't even move. You couldn't squeak the wrong direction. It was so hard, and there was so much stuff on you. So this may sound like a no-can-do sermon. That's exactly what it is. I'm telling you straight up, you are not going to be able to live the Christian life unless you figure out how to do it, and I'll get to that at the end. Leviticus 11:45. Now, I'm going to read these. I'll tell you where it is. We're going left to right, and we're going to move through these, and I'm going to hit some points. Leviticus 11:45, God speaking, "For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God." And what does he say to do? "You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Be holy, set apart. You've got to be completely different. I mean, who can be holy? God is holy. He's perfect. He's pure. He's righteous. And he looks at them and still says it to us, be holy. So there's your first challenge. You got to be holy. Deuteronomy 6:4 and following. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." Here's verse 5. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." That's what you got to do. That's the expectation. You're supposed to love this God with everything you have. Nothing for anybody else compared to what you have for him. All your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Proverbs 18:24. It even addresses how to be a friend. It says a man who has friends must himself be friendly. So it tells us, well, if you want to be have friends, we say, well, that's an easy one. I'm going to do that anyway. It's going to get worse. Matthew 5, and Jesus starts burying them. You thought Old Testament was tough. Watch this. Matthew 5, verse 27. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Do not sleep with someone if you're married or they're married." Okay, well, that's easy. I haven't done that. Then Jesus says this, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now you say, well, does that apply to women? We all got stuff. I'd say this one applies more to the men. And if you want to be all pious, you know what? We all struggle. I'll say, starting right here with me, I've told people there are women who haven't even been born yet that'll tempt me if I live. It's not going to stop. And Jesus, it's not just don't commit adultery. He says, if you even look at him, you're guilty. Few more verses down, look at verse 38. "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also." Oh, now I can't retaliate. I got to turn the other cheek. Look down in verse 43. Verse 43, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." And then he comes back. "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." You're nuts for signing up for this. You say, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, then you got to do all this stuff. You're not living by the rules. You're not a very good Christian, are you? Why would you even sign up for this? Read your Bible a little bit before you become a Christian so you'll know what you're getting into. This is unbelievable. And I'm going on and I'm just jumping. I'm skipping over some stuff. Love your enemies? I'm out on that one. Bless those who curse you. Someone's cussing you out at a stoplight and you, Lord bless you and keep you. Holy water all over your car or something. You know, they're going to get the bird back or something, usually. A few verses down, verse 48. Therefore, you shall, and he sums it up. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. There's the standard. You perfect? I've been a Christian since I was a little kid. I am not perfect. Something is wrong with this picture. Now, my own family doesn't know this yet. We went to dinner this week. We went and parked in a part of town where the meters used to be like free at night. And I got out of the car, and what we did is we walked by the parking meter, and I glanced at it, and I thought, well, cops aren't out tonight, you know, and it's free at night, whatever. We went in and sat down, and I sat where I could see the truck. So that's telling you something right there. And I wasn't fast enough. And somebody said, there's a policeman out there, and you know how they sneak up on you and punch it in. Oh, it's already done. So I go out and I start my spiel. I think I even threw in there, I'm a pastor, you know, like, you know, what's that going to do? That's always a stupid one. So anyhow, but I'm defending myself, and then I go back in. I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, I brought this on myself, blah, blah. Then I said to the girls, well, I'm going to go down tomorrow and I'm going to dispute this. Because, you know, and I've even got it on my cell phone. I took my cell phone. I took a picture of the meter. I said, this is very confusing the way it reads here. It looks like it's free and it's not. And I'm going to go tell them off. So I told the girls, I'm going to go down tomorrow. And you know what? I went home. I started thinking. And you know, the truth of the matter is, when I got out of that car, I kind of knew what that meter said. And I blew it off. And then in my piosity, if there is such a thing, I'm going to go defend. And it's like the Holy Spirit finally said, you know what? You got nothing to go down there and defend. You didn't put money in the meter. Just fess up and go on. Pay the ticket. I'm paying the ticket. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. They said, well, why do you tell stories like that? Because I'm as screwed up as you are. Week to week. So we say, yeah, I'll be a Christian. I'll take a run at this. Well, how's it working out for you so far? Matthew 10:16. Now he's telling us, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We got to be smart as a snake, as the devil, and yet gentle at the same time. Well, which is it? How do you do that? Matthew 25:34. He's telling the ones that are supposedly going to make it, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, he's talking to the people who are going to make heaven. He says, for I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. And I was in prison and you came to me. Are you doing all that? I'll bury you with that verse. Forget the rest of it. Are you feeding people, clothing people, visiting the sick, in prison? Oh my gosh, maybe I'm not a Christian even. I'm not doing any of this. There's more. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Are you making disciples? It's a commandment. What are you doing to make disciples of all nations? Romans. It gets thick now. Romans 12. Romans 12:9, let love be without hypocrisy. Speaking of all these things we're talking about, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Do you hate what is evil? I don't. I got too many things to disprove it in my life. Things I laugh at, things I just kind of let slide. And you say, well, but that's, you just need to learn to cover up better and be a hypocrite in public. What's up with that? Is that what the goal is here? Or is it some transparency with some process of it and saying, you know what, is something at least changing in my life? Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Who can live that paragraph? And they don't stop. They just go on and on saying, and this, and this, and this. And it goes on verse 14. Again, this whole Matthew 5 thing. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those that weep. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Boy, you're taking all the fun out of your life. Romans 13. Verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Now you got to obey the laws if you're going to become a Christian. And then down in verse 7 of 13, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Are we paying our taxes? Well, you know, God will understand. No, they're never going to find this cash I slipped in and got paid. 2 Corinthians 9, 7, then he comes after your money. You know what? People will try all this other stuff, but when God comes messing with your money, whew, you want to shut some Christians down. I did not sign up for this. And the problem is you think it's your money. You know, the Bible refers to Christians as slaves. You know what slaves own? Jack. Nothing. Now listen to me. You say you want to be a Christian? There's a closing. And at that closing, you sign everything over. That's what happens when you become a Christian. You say, where do I sign? And you sign up and say, I transfer all that I have, all that I am, to the Lord Jesus Christ. New boss, new comptroller, new CEO. He runs everything now. Then you get instructions about what to do with his money. Because it's not your money anymore. And if you got this confused, your life's going to be messed up. Because you signed it all over, and now you're stealing from him and spending his money. Ephesians chapter 4, and this stuff goes internal now. Ephesians 4, let's go with verse 2. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Down in verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now I'm giving you some hints as to what it's going to take. Look at verse 25, and you say, well, I don't have a problem with this. A lot of people do. Putting away lying. You're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to quit lying somewhere along the way. Down in verse 28, let him who stole steal no more. Stop stealing. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You're going to have to forgive. You're going to have mercy the same way he's done for you. It goes to employees and goes to the extreme of literally a slave in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 and following. Starts out in verse 5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. We ought to be the best stinking employees on the planet. Christians ought to outdo everybody there is. We ought to set the standard. And it's not this thing of when the boss comes by shuffling some papers and looking, oh, how are you? We're going at it. And then when he goes by, you go, sit back in the chair like, well, where'd he go? Are you working when no one's watching? Because you know what? Somebody's always watching. The one that matters is always watching. And then he goes on down to verse 9, and you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. There may be master, slave, employee, employer differences down here, but God says, you know what? I don't play those games. I'm going to treat the slave like the master and hold you to the same standard. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, having sex outside of marriage, or sex period. There, you don't have to be married on that one. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put all of these off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Verse 12, therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. Down in verse 18, this Colossians 3, just work on this one. If you can live Colossians 3, you're going a long way. 18, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Who can do all this? Do not become a Christian. It's too hard. The standard's too high. Pick another religion. This is not something just you just try out. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and if I haven't buried you yet, this will bury you. All this 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, three words, pray without ceasing. We're going to walk around praying all the time. Who can pray without ceasing? It's not possible. 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about rightly dividing the word of truth. Now it's not even just knowing the impossibilities that are listed here. Now I got to know how to explain them to people. Not just living up to the standard, but now you got to know how to apply the standard to somebody. I'm getting tired just reading this stuff. 2 Timothy 2:22. It's easy to remember. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, people, I'm going to camp here a minute. Why would he put something in here like not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together? Because it's important. There is something about touching somebody's hand, looking somebody in the eyes, holding somebody, hugging their neck and saying, are you okay? And they believe you mean it. And you ask the questions. And this isn't, by the way, just about Sundays. This is about don't forsake getting together, whatever it is. James 1:27, I'm running out, but if you want more, I know a book, you can find some more. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That verse alone will bury you. When's the last time you went checking on orphans and widows specifically? This is specific. Okay, tomorrow, Saturday, whatever day, we're doing a widow and orphan outreach. Now, Steve, you know anything about orphans? You don't go yank orphan chains. Oh, well, let's go down and play with the orphans. Let's go over there and spend some time with the orphans. Have them over to the house to play. They'd almost be better off if no one came at all than for somebody to come and stir them all up and then leave them. These things take commitment. You want to get involved with a widow? You know what? Somebody died that is not coming back. It's going to take some time. So these two little things about orphans and widows are some committed processes. And then 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always, these words always, be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. How is anybody going to live this life? It's a no-can-do life. And how are you even attempting it? Because there's not any of us in here who in the last day, if not last week, have messed this up royally. It's not working. And yet we say we're trying, but we can make a list of stuff that's not working. Now let me tell you very simply what I believe. You are not going to live the Christ life without Christ. You want to look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, sound like Jesus, think like Jesus, you're going to have to get you some Jesus. And it's not enough just to believe that he lived and he's a historical figure. And I've been trying to figure this verse out for probably 20 years and sitting back here this morning, even praying over it again, I think I got a little bitty glimpse. The book says, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
It's not Jesus. It's not just Christ. It's where he is. You say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. The demons in hell believe and tremble at his name. The difference is he in you? If you do not have the God of the universe in the person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' presence living inside of you, you are done. You will not make it. You will be a religious person frustrated till the day you die trying to be a do-gooder and live up to some standards that the Christians can't even live up to. It is a long process. The Holy Spirit, one thing at a time, working on these things. You show back up. We gather. We encourage. We challenge. We read our Bible. We see these things and we say, God, it's not working and I can't make it work. At some point, well, let me read you one other verse. Go to John 15. John 15, verse 5. And I recommend you read all of John 15 to get some context, but this is pretty clear when you see it right here. I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. He who abides in me stays connected to me, lives connected to me, and I in him bears much fruit. And then your answer, for without me, you can do nothing. Without Jesus, it's a no-can-do life. But with him, all things are possible. So where do you start? You say, God, I have seen a life change in some people around me. They say they're Christians. I want what they have. Do not sign up for this unless you are prepared to be disemboweled. He is going to turn you inside out, your thoughts, your actions, where you go, what you do, your friends. It is going to not just change where you spend eternity. He's going to wreck your life in the best way possible. And if you talk to enough people who take this trip, the margins narrow, things get a little bit tougher, the responsibility goes up. But your life starts to change, and the stuff you really want, the joy, the peace, the love, the long-term satisfaction, not temporary pleasure. I found a quote that says, the chief cause of failure and unhappiness is trading what we want most for what we want in the moment. And sooner or later, you start growing up, and you get to these intersections. You say, you know what? I've been wanting this and doing this my whole life, but Lord Jesus, I don't own me. This is not my body. This is not my life anymore. And I, as sure as I'm breathing and standing here, I am going to do the same stupid thing right here, right now, I've done my whole life, unless someone more powerful than me kicks in here and changes what I'm about to do. And then you authorize him to do what only he can do, and you pass. And you walk away going, oh my gosh, I realize without him, I can do nothing, but with him, anything's possible.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Now, this may be the most discouraging sermon you ever heard, and I'm not trying to talk anybody out of not being a Christian, but we have cheapened this thing. Get your ticket to heaven, free, free, free. Ticket to heaven, live like hell, free, right here, pick up your ticket. Nothing has to change. Don't read your Bible, don't pay any attention to all that, just ticket to heaven, that's all we got. It's more than a ticket to heaven. It's a changed life beginning the moment you get in that relationship, but there's still nothing better. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And he was still screwing up at that point. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, who will deliver me from the body of this death? He struggled till the end. That's the deal. But don't stop struggling. Don't lay down and quit. When the devil says, you can't make it, you say, no, I can. And you determine that you can, and then you do what it takes. It's not just believing it. It's doing something with what you believe. And that'll change your life. Now, if you say, well, I've heard all your verses, but my life still sucks. And I'd rather try him and the challenges that come with that than being stuck with my stuff because I can't take my way anymore. And I end up talking to people like that during the week who can't take it anymore. You can only sleep with so many people. You can only do so many drugs. You can only make so much money. You only live in so big a house. You know, it just, there's a limit to it. And it doesn't satisfy. And I'll take the challenges of my life and my weaknesses and my problems with Jesus any day over a life without him.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.